And we're back on this Friday on News Talk 107.9. Neil Larson along with Julie Mason. And Julie, we're joined by Representative Rod Furness as we think we're in the waning days of the legislative session. But Representative Furness, welcome to the program this morning.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here. Well, I hope we're in the waning days as well.
Well, you know, we were watching what was going on in the Senate on the other side, and Senator Guthrie's speech seems to have made a lot of waves, led to a 25-10 vote in the Senate on the health and welfare budget. So it's back to JFAC. You're on that committee. So it looks like maybe the session might be lasting a little longer than what you thought it was yet prior to yesterday.
You know, we'll bring that budget back. That was such an interesting vote yesterday. I'm glad you brought that up because, and Senator Guthrie gave a moving testimonial on the floor about taking care of people and making sure we do things right and the difference between 2009 and now. And, you know, I have that budget up and I just want to, you know, what they voted on was a $5.7 billion budget. And the vote was so interesting because we saw the far right vote no on it because it was too much. And we saw the others vote on it because they followed Senator Guthrie. And some voted on it because it wasn't enough money. And so it'll be interesting to see that budget come back and how we put it back together. But, you know, that budgeting is unique in government. It's not like the same as when I'm used to running a business and I look at debits and credits. It starts out being a really good budget, and then you have to look at ongoing, and then one-time money has to come out of it. On that budget, though, you may have noticed we took out, I'm in that working group, we reduced those budgets in Medicaid by 91 employees we reduced, and we reduced it by $207 million.
Yeah.
And we thought that was a pretty solid budget to get through the Senate, and it wasn't. And so we're not sure whether to put more money in it or to take more money out of it. And, or if we need to put those programs back. There are 6 mental health programs that failed in December. We don't know if we should put those back or if we need to add the 4% back to providers, or if we need to spend a little bit of money and use the rainy day fund or the budget stabilization fund to balance our budget.
Okay. So it scores sort of back to chaos, kind of a at least it's a fluid canvas here that you're working with. But I wanted to ask you, and this may be a bit of a tough question for you, Rod, but I don't recall how you voted on that budget in JFAC. Did you vote to move that budget forward?
There's 12 budgets in the maintenance bill, and some of those budgets I did move forward, and some I didn't.
Yeah.
And so I reserved my right to vote no on that budget. I think we need to add a little bit more. I think we need to put back the ACT program. I think we need to add some to the providers.
Yeah.
To make sure that we're stable. And the reason is because if we don't add to the ACT program, we just shifted that burden onto sheriffs and the emergency room.
So on that specific budget, though, in JFAC, how did you vote on the health and welfare budget?
We haven't had it yet. This went through the Senate. It's Senate Bill 1375. Oh. So we haven't voted on the House yet.
Well, I mean,
and we won't. It died in the Senate.
But didn't JFAC produce that budget for the Senate to vote on?
Yes.
And
yes.
You're on JFAC, right?
Yes, I am on JFAC, and there are 12 budgets inside that maintenance budget.
Okay. Did you vote on each one of those individually in JFAC?
Yes, I did.
And how did you vote on the budget that failed yesterday?
Well, there were 12 budgets. I probably voted no on about 4 of them.
And that one specifically?
Well, the one, 1375, is 12 budgets combined. It's a maintenance budget on 12 budgets.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Okay, that does make a little bit more sense. Part of what you're kind of speaking my language right here, Representative Furness, because when Neil and I were talking about this earlier, I said, I appreciate Senator Guthrie's passionate speech yesterday, and that's wonderful, but there's no proposed solution in the passionate speech. And so
exactly.
I don't know what you guys are supposed to do now.
Yeah, and if you listen to his speech carefully, he thought the budget would pass.
Yeah.
And that he had no recourse. And maybe that's why he gave no solution. But the Senate did not give us a clear message to JFAC on what we're supposed to do now that we have this budget back before us. So we'll go back through. I hope that we add some of those programs. We may need to take some money out of other programs and come back with a similar budget with just different programs. And I'll be speaking to Senator Guthrie, and I'll be asking him what he wants. Senator Cook was also involved in that budget. He presented that budget. He voted yes on the budget. And I'll be asking him, what do we need to do on this budget? And I'm in that working group, and I can tell you when we get in those working groups, there's three from the House, three from the Senate. We're nose to nose at times on how much money we're going to give to each one of those budgets. And sometimes it's fun, sometimes it's not.
So can we talk about Senator Cook for just, if I had known all of this was going to happen, I had Senator Cook on a couple days, well, yesterday, in fact. But it was before Senator Guthrie's speech. But we go back to that moment a few weeks ago where Senator Cook chastised his fellow JFAC members, specifically Representative Tanner and Senator Groh, for not doing the hard work of going in and making the line-by-line cuts, but expecting the agency heads to do that. But now it seems like once they did decide on the specific cuts, they were intolerable when certain members of JFAC said, you know what, you have less money, but we're going to give you some discretion on how you're going to spend that money. In retrospect, would it have been a good idea to tell the Department of Health and Welfare, we're making cuts, but you can decide where the pain points are within your budget?
Now you're talking my language. That's exactly what I've told the chairs as well, that the 1% across the board for 2026 and the 2% across the board for 2027 was draconian. And what should have happened is we should have gone into each individual budget and looked for efficiencies, or looked at combining different areas, or adding money to some and not to others. And when we cut across the board evenly, we actually penalize the directors that are doing a great job and reward the ones that were being a little bit sloppy. And I think that in the end of the day, we should have gone into those budgets individually and looked at that. We would have come out with a similar response, I believe. We would have cut maybe even deeper than the proposed cuts. But Senator Cook was right on. And we've had that discussion with the chairs in other meetings. We have a 7:15 meeting every day. The press is invited to it. We've told the chairs, in fact, it was me that mentioned it. I said, we're not spending enough time on these budgets with our directors. We're coming out too quick, and we need to spend more time with them. And we need to go through these items line by line to make sure we're on board and that we've got the services we need and yet the cuts we need. And I was gabbled down for suggesting we need a little more time. But now we will take some time. We have the time now. We'll come back and we'll make sure the budget's right.
So you'll have that meeting today following this failure in the Senate yesterday. How do you think that meeting's going to go?
They actually postponed that meeting because they don't know how it's going to go yet. So we'll find out. And I think that they will give us the time. I'm on that working group. We're going to demand the time. And now there's no time limit. We need to go back in. We need to interview the senators that voted, honestly, find out what they want. And then we'll come back and try to match that with the demands of the agency.
So are you worried, Representative Furness, and Julie and I talked about this a little bit earlier this morning, we see this dynamic in Congress all the time where if margins are kind of thin, then whatever you need to do to get something through one chamber, you've now created a deal killer for the other chamber. These budgets, are you worried that maybe that middle ground doesn't exist yet right now, that what the Senate wants would be intolerable to the House and vice versa?
Yeah, your intuition is so good. I am worried about that. And we will see budgets being held in the House and the Senate to negotiate for other bills, not just budgets. We've got some bills that are that the House wants. We've got some bills that the Senate wants. They're already holding those bills
Yeah.
and waiting for it to negotiate. So it is a cat and mouse game, but at the end of the day, we all want to go home, and we put a little pressure on leadership.
Yeah.
And the sooner we get out of here, the better it is for us and for the constituents.
Well,
We need to quit passing bills.
we know it's a big chess game, and is that perhaps one of the reasons why Senator Guthrie has put a number of the House passed bills in a drawer so that he has a bargaining chip on this year, on the budget issue, that it says, okay, you know what, if you want E-Verify, you want the immigration issue to just to go forward, then this is what we'd like in the budget.
I think you're absolutely right. Although there, some of those bills are just bad bills. So we'll, and he knows that, and he's been around a long time, and he has a really good handle on what Idaho needs. He's under a tremendous amount of stress. I don't know if you've watched him lately, but I try to stay close to him. I try to pat him on the back, but he carries a big load, and
Yeah.
he's doing a great job.
Well, when you say they're bad bills, though, Representative Furness, they are duly passed in the House, though. Like, and as a matter of principle, if they're truly a bad bill, then you make that case, argue it in the Senate, and then let it die on a vote rather than in a drawer. Wouldn't, I mean, what's wrong with that approach?
Nothing. And I think that both approaches are right. He draws some and he'll make the determination. But I think some of the bills probably, I don't know, and I couldn't name them for you, but he has the prerogative to decide which bills should go forward and which bills shouldn't. That's why he's there. And I think he does give everyone a fair shake. And some of those bills are being held for negotiation.
Okay.
All right. Can we talk about a few of the immigration bills that went forward that are being held in Senator Guthrie's drawer? Obviously, they cleared the House, and you were part of those votes. Do you feel like we're tackling what is a problem that needs fixing? And maybe that's where the disagreement lies in Idaho, is some people don't think this is a problem that needs fixing. But we need to align with federal law on some of this. We also need to respect the citizens and their strong desire to have immigration be tightened up and looking a little more clean and appropriate in Idaho. So what did you think of those immigration bills that made their way through the House?
I agreed with them in concept. I am all for businesses not hiring illegal immigrants, and I don't think that we should do that. Although, on the same token, a big chunk of the people that work in the dairies and the construction industry, the hospitality industry, the ag industry, are undocumented at this time, and so we're really asking. And I've written letters. I've called our congressional delegation in Washington to fix the H-2A program. Right now, they can only stay in Idaho 9 months under that program. We need it to be extended to 12 months, and we need it at the discretion of the employer if they want to renew that. If they would just do that small thing, we could clean this up in Idaho. I voted against 700 and 704 because that was a mandated E-Verify, and I like E-Verify, but it's just not reliable. In fact, the testimony, and you can go online and see that it's garbage in, garbage out. You'd probably lose more legal employees than you would keep out illegal employees under the E-Verify system, and some of the people testified in the House that that was the case, that they just couldn't rely on E-Verify. So if it's not a viable solution and not a viable program, then we shouldn't mandate it on our businesses.
So I'm going to ask you another hard question, Rod. So don't take it personal here, but
No, I like hard questions. I
okay.
came here to do hard things. We're
So
good.
you had a nod to you sort of said two things that seemed a little contradictory. You want immigration enforcement, but you also don't want to harm the ag industry in any way. So I would ask, this is the hard question, what matters more to you, the law or the economy?
Well, they both matter, and I'm not trying to skirt the question. They both matter, But the law has presented a problem, and they've let that law go on without enforcement for the last 50 years. I mean, and then to change the law all of a sudden in the state of Idaho probably isn't fair to the employers, and it's not fair to the law. Let's fix that law, but let's fix it over time and let us work our way through that. They've been unlawful for 20 years. Give us a couple of years to fix that and give us a program that works. The H-2A program needs to be fixed. Congressman Simpson has constantly testified that that needs to be fixed, and that's his number one priority in Washington, is to fix that. If he would fix that one thing, Idaho would become legal overnight.
Yeah.
And then we would make sure that those people working are under that H-2A program. They would be housed, they would be employed, and they would receive the correct visa. And we would be golden. What's happening now is they reach the end of the 9 months. If they go back to their home country, they cannot get back in. I'm working on a really valuable employee with one of the potato farmers right now. We're writing letters to try to get him back into the United States because he's so valuable to this company, but he cannot get back in because of the H-2A program.
Yeah. All right. Representative, we'll give you the last minute or so here. What other things are you working on that you'd like to see happen before sine die?
Oh. You know, I'd like to see Harriman Park straightened out. I don't know if you've been following that
Yeah, a
in
little
your
bit.
radio program. That I'd like to see. I presented a bill yesterday on firefighters to make sure we give the correct bonuses to them. I'm working on tungsten steel memorial. I'm presenting that today. There's a new tungsten steel mine in Limhi County. It's the only tungsten steel mine in the nation, and they're opening that up. That'll be a boom to Limhi County. We're excited about that. And then I've presented several bills to try to put two agencies together, the insurance department and the finance department. I think those should be combined. I'm receiving a lot of feedback on that from bankers, but they should be combined. We could save some money there. And also working on some other projects. But appreciate the time to let me go over those, because those are some of the hard things I'm doing.
Okay, well, we appreciate you making some time for us this morning, Representative. I wish you luck for the rest of the session, however long that may last. And I'm sure we'll be talking with you. I know you do have a primary opponent this year, and
Yes.
we'll have an interview in the campaign context. So we look forward to that.
Happy to do that. Thank you so much.